The last case is United States v. Ocampo. And Mr. Levine.
Thank you, Judge. May it please the Court, I represent Miguel Ocampo. My client is a methamphetamine addict. He was sentenced to 108 months. The issues before this Court are whether his sentence should reflect his cooperation, what cooperation he gave, and whether the weapon was connected to the distribution charges. There's no question that Mr. Ocampo provided valuable cooperation. He identified his supplier. His supplier was arrested with a pound of methamphetamine. His girlfriend, on his behalf, went in and wore a wire and got the transaction on a tape recording. He was not given, for that cooperation, he was not given a day of credit on his sentence.
What else was he supposed to do as far as cooperation?
What he was supposed to do or what he did do?
What else could he have done, or what did he, they think he didn't do enough?
They initially told him they didn't want further cooperation, and later they said they would accept his cooperation. Outside the record, his girlfriend did testify against the supplier, and the supplier was convicted. That's our position, defendant's position, that what he did should have allowed him, should have accredited him a level of cooperation, some benefit for what he did provide. The government argues that he did not receive cooperation because he failed to acknowledge the offense conduct. And what they're talking about is he failed to state, yes, government, there was a gun used in connection with the deliveries. He would not state that, and that's the reason he did not enter into a plea agreement. That's the other issue. Was the firearm used in connection with the deliveries in this case? The record shows the firearms were at his house. The deliveries were outside of his house. He went to a tavern. He transferred the drugs, the approximately 2.5 ounces of methamphetamine. There was, I don't see a preponderance of evidence. I see very little evidence, if any, that the firearms were used in the offense. The court officer, Agent Goody, testified that he saw no evidence that Mr. Ocampo stored drugs at his residence. And Officer Goody had previously been in his residence and searched the residence prior to this occasion. Officer Chippick also testified he had no knowledge of whether the drugs sold were ever at his residence. When he was arrested, he didn't have the gun in person. It's at his house, he had small quantities. He had baggies. He had small baggies. He had a scale. But the offense in question were these two large deliveries, these 2.5 ounce total deliveries. These weren't small amounts that were being packaged up and sold. He was not charged with conspiracy. He was charged with the deliveries. The agents, I contend the agents were not credible as witnesses. When I started cross-examining, the pat response was, I don't recall, I don't recall, I don't recall. At one point, the court asked, what does that mean, I don't recall? It's our position that the district court's failure to take into account his cooperation and their district court's holding Mr. Ocampo accountable for the weapon were errors by the district court.
Where was the weapon found?
The weapons were found in his bedroom dresser.
And what else was in the proximity of that?
That
the court referred to. And I don't care about where his underwear
was. Baggies, and there were scales, and there were the accoutrements of a drug user. A drug user. And I think the agent even testified, yeah, these are things for a small-time drug user. There was some marijuana. There was some heroin. And the guy was a drug addict. There's no question. These sales, however, did not occur in his bedroom. These sales occurred outside the house, and there was really no connection with the offense.
Okay. Ms. Pickering?
Good Good morning. May it please the court. To begin with the firearms enhancement that was applied, the question is not whether the defendant used the weapon in connection with the offense, but whether he possessed it in connection with the offense. And this really turns on the district court's factual findings and the district court's credibility findings. The defendant testified at the sentencing hearing that he had not packaged the drugs at his house, that he never brought distribution quantities into the house to package it. The district court simply found this incredible, and this was very clearly stated in her ruling. As has already come out, in addition to the guns that were found in the defendant's dresser drawer, there were scales, which are clearly not a personal use item, and there is no such testimony in the record that it is a personal use item. There were small baggies that are used for packaging and distributing narcotics. Other things that the district court relied on in finding that the defendant would have had the methamphetamine in his house in the same proximity as the firearms on the date that he intended to he distributed to the cooperating source were the defendant's own statement on tape that day, where he told the cooperating source that he needed to go home to pick that up. Additionally, when the cooperating source indicated that she was anxious to receive the drugs, he said, "Well, you can come to my house to get them," and that's also, the tape is now a part of the record, as is the transcript, and it's referred to in the transcript of the sentencing. There was a drug ledger that was found on top of the dresser. There's even the defendant's testimony at the sentencing hearing to the extent of that ledger, that there are thousands of dollars of other individuals owed to him for the distribution of drugs.
So the drug ledger was, it's in the same area then?
It was, on the top of the dresser where the firearm was found.
Is that clear that this drug ledger was not something just a user?
Well, Your Honor, I believe the testimony of the defendant at the sentencing hearing was that these thousands of dollars that were recorded in the drug ledger were amounts that were owed to him by other individuals to whom he had supplied drugs. The district court did not clearly err in determining that these facts supported this enhancement, that the firearms were possessed in connection with this narcotics offense. And accordingly, the district court correctly calculated the advisory guidelines range. Turning then to the question of cooperation, the question here, as is set forth in the Blue case, is not just cooperation in isolation. It's, was the overall sentence reasonable? And cooperation is certainly something the district court could consider. The defendant did not enter into a plea agreement here. There was no cooperation agreement. And, in fact, the district court found that he had not fully cooperated in a way that merited some reduction in his sentence. The district court considered several things under the 3553 factors in arriving at a reasonable sentence for him. And those included his background, the fact that he had previously squandered good opportunities, that he had testified about his length and breadth of drug dealing, and also that he had failed to be fully truthful while testifying. The district court noted that even in testifying in the sentencing hearing, the defendant was very careful in mentioning names, not to reveal people. Basically, the district court did consider his cooperation wholly apart from the 5K issue and determined that it really didn't merit any reduction in sentence, and I think that's the end analysis here. The government was not required to seek a departure based on the defendant's cooperation up to that point, and indeed, the government acted in good faith and reasonably when it did not ask for a departure in a situation where the defendant had not fully acknowledged his offense conduct and was no longer on board and no longer cooperating.
Is that even relevant post-Booker?
Your Honor, I know that there has been reference to the fact that departures are now obsolete, and so I think the ultimate question really is whether or not the district court arrived at a reasonable sentence.
So the entire line of cases about the government's obligation to consider offering this departure under certain circumstances and the constitutional claims associated with that are just completely gone now, post-Booker?
Well, I do know there's the language about departures being obsolete, but I think that there still has to be everybody has to calculate the correct advisory guidelines range, and I think one factor in that may be when the government makes a 5K departure.
Hang on to those guideline ranges. They're
the departure?
Absolutely necessary for the continuance of our republic.
Well, the guidelines departures under prior law were not part of the base guidelines range, right?
And
well, you still enter into plea agreements where you agreed it suggested a reduction because, or to call the attention of the court to the cooperation and suggest it might be good for a reduction in what possible sentence there is.
That's correct, Your Honor.
It's not required before, after, or during, but you make the decision as to whether the cooperation is sufficient even under the plea agreements.
Yes, Your Honor. The government does make a determination whether to request a departure for substantial assistance.
Under Santabella, all you have to do is follow the agreement. You've reached it, and you're stuck with that one.
Well, in this case, there was no plea agreement.
I know.
Right.
We were talking in the abstract.
Yes, Your Honor. And so I think in the end, the ultimate question here, post-Booker, is was it overall a reasonable sentence? And the district courts could certainly consider the cooperation absent any 5K departure. But the district court did that here and considered the defendant's cooperation and found that it was not full and not appropriate to reduce his sentence in any fashion. Accordingly, the government would respectfully request that this court affirm the sentence imposed by the district court. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Lean.
The question here is whether the weapon was possessed in connection with this offense, not some other offense, not what he was doing some other day. These were two deliveries that he was charged with and which he pled to. The government's bringing up the fact that there were baggies and a scale. He may have been weighing out amounts of drugs to do at some other time, that there were monies owed to him, but he was not charged with those monies owed to him. This sentence is with regard to whether the firearms were used with regard to this offense. Now, with regard to the sentencing enhancement, a defendant need not disprove a sentencing enhancement. That is the government's obligation to prove by preponderance. The court made a conclusion that Mr. Ocampo was not fully truthful while testifying, but it didn't stay where he wasn't truthful. In fact, he responded to all questions. He admitted his drug habits. He admitted that he had these lists of people who owed him money. He admitted that he had destroyed his life with drugs, and his testimony is in the record. The court's conclusion is something that the court put in to justify the sentence, but is without basis in this situation. The government argued that it acted in good faith by not seeking a departure. I disagree, and that's why I'm before you today. Essentially, what they told him is, unless you accept our truth, and our truth is that the guns were used in offense, we're going to throw you down a hole until you admit that this is what the truth is. Well, that's not good faith. That's acting. That's extortion, really, is what it is. It's extorting this guy to admit, to take an admission of something he didn't do, so that he will get what he is entitled to in terms of a sentence by his cooperation. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to both counsel. Mr. Levine, I understand you were court appointed.
Yes.
We appreciate your taking the assignment and your advocacy for your client. Thank you.
But you didn't have to go as far as a pleasure. You could say it was good. Pleased to do it.
Okay. And that completes the argument.